And please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. This morning we continue our study of the book of Revelation by looking for the first time at Revelation chapter 12. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great faithfulness toward us, your people. We thank you, Father, that you have saved us in Jesus Christ, your eternal and only begotten Son, and have sealed us by your blessed Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, when Christ shall appear and receive us to himself. Father, we pray this morning that you would give us your Spirit, that we may have a right understanding of your word, and enable us by your grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you on earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, but the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood, but the earth came to her help, to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. This is the word of God. Now, this is the point in the book of Revelation where things get a little weird. I probably could have said that at the beginning of every sermon that I have preached on Revelation. Most of the book, as we know, is a little weird and difficult to understand, and some chapters are harder than others. In my opinion, this chapter is one of the more challenging ones, but in some ways, this chapter is the key to understanding the whole book. It's going to take us a little while to cover this chapter. I'd like to take the time to go through it carefully because I think it will open up the book to us and help us to make sense of the rest of the book of Revelation. Now, today, I want to look at some of the characters introduced in this chapter and show how the roots of this chapter go all the way back to the book of Genesis. There are three main characters in this chapter: the woman, the dragon, and the woman's offspring, her child. The woman and the dragon are symbolic characters who represent the forces on the two sides of a cosmic spiritual war. And the woman's offspring is the champion warrior who defeats the dragon and who gains possession of the whole world, which he rules with a rod of iron. Now, that's the big picture that we want to keep in mind as we look at the details of this vision. Now, the first character introduced here in Revelation 12 is the woman who appears in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, this is no ordinary woman. It is a celestial woman, a heavenly woman. She is adorned with the radiance and splendor of the cosmic lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, that tells us something about her glory. Like God himself, she is covered with light as with a garment. She bears the brightness of the glory of God. And this woman is also a royal figure. She is a queen. She's crowned. On her head is a crown of 12 stars. Now, the number 12 is important symbolically because of the 12 tribes of Israel and, of course, the 12 apostles. There is a link between her crown and the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, as we are going to see. And so this woman is a queen, and she is enthroned in the heavens. The moon is under her feet, which is another way of saying the moon is her footstool. She is seated and enthroned in the heavenly places. She is a heavenly queen. We can even call her the Queen of Heaven. Now, what else is said about this woman? Well, verse 2 tells us that she is pregnant and the time for her child's birth has come. Verse 2, she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And so this is a nativity scene. It's not the kind of nativity scene we ordinarily see at Christmas, but it is a nativity scene nonetheless. The woman is about to give birth to a child, a son, a royal son, one who is going to rule. He is going to rule all the nations. Verse 5 says that she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, this makes it clear that her child is none other than Christ himself. Christ, of course, is the one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, that saying here in verse 5 comes from the Psalms, specifically from Psalm 2, which is about the enthronement of our Lord Jesus Christ and his reign over the nations, which Revelation 19 tells us will ultimately be fulfilled when Christ returns. Revelation 19, verse 15 also cites the same saying, that he rules the nations with a rod of iron. Now, the point here is that it is the nativity of Christ that is being symbolically depicted in the vision of this woman in Revelation chapter 12. And it is for that reason that some people want to identify this woman as the Virgin Mary. After all, she is the mother of Jesus. And the woman in the vision is the mother of Jesus, the mother of Christ. Now, that is a common interpretation in the Roman Catholic Church, as many of you may know. I remember about 25 years ago, I was with a small group of folks on a tour of a large Catholic cathedral, and the tour guide took us to a very large and beautiful painting of a radiant woman in the sky, crowned with the stars and with the moon under her feet, and down below was a seven-headed dragon. And the tour guide said to us, "Do you know what this is?" And I said, "Yes, it's Revelation chapter 12. He said, "That's right, but do you know who the woman is?" It's the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Heaven. And of course, he proceeded to tell us about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, that is the common Roman Catholic interpretation of this passage, and there is some merit to it because, after all, Mary is the mother of Jesus. She is the mother of Christ. But if you look at Revelation 12 again, you will notice that the woman in this vision is not only the mother of Jesus, she's also our mother. She's your mother, too. Now, verse 17, the dragon who tried to devour her son as soon as it was born makes war on the rest of her offspring. Now look at verse 17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And so the woman in this vision not only has one child, but many children, and her children are identified as, quote, those who keep the commandments of God and who hold the testimony of Jesus. Now, in the book of Revelation, that refers to all believers. And so the woman in this vision is not only the mother of Christ, she is the mother of us all. She is the mother of all believers. Now, in the Old Testament, the name that is given to this symbolical woman is the Daughter of Zion, or the Virgin Daughter of Zion. And it is amazing how many times that phrase occurs in the Old Testament. If you ever get a chance to do a search for that phrase, then do it. Whenever the phrase appears, the Daughter of Zion or the Virgin Daughter of Zion, it is referring to the woman in this vision in Revelation chapter 12. Now, it may be surprising to some of you here to hear that this same woman appears in the Old Testament. In fact, she's all throughout the Old Testament. It's the Daughter of Zion or the Virgin Daughter of Zion. Now, let me give you just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10, which we heard earlier as the call to worship, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord." Again, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now that prophecy, as you may know, was fulfilled when our Lord Jesus Christ rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. Another text from the Old Testament that refers to the daughter of Zion, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil." Now, the daughter of Zion in these sayings is, of course, a figure of speech. It is a personification of Israel. Or to put it the other way around, Israel is personified. Israel is personified as a pure virgin daughter whom, we are told, in some places in the Old Testament, the Lord takes to be his bride and who becomes the Queen of Heaven and the joyous mother of children. Now, one example of that is in the book of Isaiah. In the prophecy of Isaiah, which has a lot to say about the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Zion is, first of all, abandoned and claims that God has forsaken her and forgotten her. That's Isaiah 49, verse 14. But the Lord tells her to get up from the dust and dress herself again like the queen. That's Isaiah 52, verse 1. And he promises to become her husband and make her a joyous mother of children. This is Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 1, for example, "Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord." Now, the Apostle Paul cites that verse, Isaiah 54, verse 1, and identifies the woman in that verse as the Jerusalem that is above, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, this is in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. Paul says, "But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is the mother of us all. She is our mother, For it is written, and here's the Isaiah 54, quote, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those who are than those of the one who has a husband." So who is our mother? Well, it is the Jerusalem that is above. It is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the heavenly Zion. Now, this is the same Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven in Revelation chapter 21. And so it is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the virgin daughter of Zion who is depicted here in Revelation chapter 12 as the woman. Now, in Revelation 12, she already bears the glory of God. She is clothed with the sun. She's wearing a crown of 12 stars. She's enthroned in the heavenly places. The moon is her footstool. And yet, at the same time, in Revelation chapter 12, she suffers. She suffers and is exposed to danger, specifically to the wrath of the dragon, who pursues her into the wilderness and tries to destroy her. But she is protected by God in the wilderness throughout the tribulation period. 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days, a time, two times, and half a time. That same period that's used over and over again in chapters 11, 12, and 13 of Revelation referred to the tribulation period. So she flees into the wilderness and is protected by God there throughout the tribulation and emerges victorious over the dragon, and gains the victory over the dragon, we are told in verse 11 of Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of her testimony, their testimony, the saints of God, because they did not love their lives even to the point of death. Even in the face of death, they did not cling to their life. Now, one more thing we need to do in order to understand this vision in Revelation 12 is to trace its roots back to the very first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. And it is quite remarkable how much the book of Revelation echoes and builds on the book of Genesis. You see it in the end of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, for example, where there is the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, which of course is parallel to the creation of heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 1. But also you see the Garden of Eden. You see the tree of life in the midst of the garden and at the end of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 12, also the vision that is given to us here, has its roots all the way back in the book of Genesis. The woman and the dragon in Revelation 12, as I said earlier, are symbolic characters who represent the forces on the two sides of a cosmic spiritual war. That cosmic spiritual war is the theme of the apocalypse. It's the theme of the book of Revelation. And here you have the two sides in this war depicted, the woman on the one hand and the dragon on the other. And the woman's offspring is the champion warrior who defeats the dragon and inherits the world, which he rules over with a rod of iron. He rules over the nations with a rod of iron. Now, the dragon of Revelation 12 first appears in Holy Scripture all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in the form of the serpent who seduces the first woman, Eve, into eating the forbidden fruit. But God in Genesis 3 comes and pronounces judgment on the serpent and reveals the one who will carry out that judgment against the serpent. The one who's going to execute the judgment against the serpent is none other than the offspring of the woman, the seed of the woman. Now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman.'" Notice you have the serpent here and the woman. "And between your offspring and her offspring, he," that is the offspring of the woman, "shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, God promises here in Genesis 3:15 to put enmity between the woman and the serpent, the woman and the dragon. That's the enmity we see in Revelation chapter 12. Enmity, of course, means hostility, conflict. Now, the enmity also includes the woman's offspring and the serpent's offspring, and we're going to find out who the serpent's offspring is pretty soon because it's revealed in Revelation chapter 13. Now, the word offspring or seed that's used in Genesis 3:15 could be used in a collective sense to refer to a group, not just one singular, but to a group, and that's how it's used in Revelation chapter 12. There is, first of all, the offspring of the woman, that is the Christ child who gains victory over the dragon and who is caught up into heaven, but there is also the rest of her offspring, that is all believers. Now, humanity, therefore, in Genesis 3:15 is being divided into two groups. On the one hand, there is the offspring of the serpent, that is the part of the human race that continues on the side of the serpent, that's the seed of the serpent. And on the other hand, there is the offspring of the woman. These are the redeemed. These are the covenant people of God. Now, by putting enmity between the serpent's offspring and the woman's offspring, God here initiated a war between them, conflict, a war. There are two antithetical kingdoms at war with each other. And that war will end with the destruction of Satan. His head will be crushed by the champion seed of the woman. Now, offspring, like I said, can refer to a group of people used in a collective sense, but it could also refer to one person, and in Genesis 3:15 it does. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, notice how now it is singular, he, the offspring of the woman, shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So the word offspring is then concentrated on one person, individualized. And the idea is that arising from this seed of the woman will be a champion warrior, the Messiah, the Christ, who will crush the head of the serpent and win the decisive victory in this war. And it is that victory that our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has won. And it is that victory that he shares with the rest of the woman's offspring, who also conquer Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb. That is how Christ himself conquered the evil one. Now, it's Genesis 3:15 that is, you know, the ultimate background. There are several other biblical associations, as we are going to see with Revelation chapter 12. But Genesis 3:15 is the origin of what you find in Revelation 12. The same spiritual cosmic warfare that is depicted symbolically in Revelation 12 began in Genesis 3:15. And it is played out throughout the history of the Old Testament. It reaches its climax with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with his birth, his nativity, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, by which he is caught up to the throne of God and enthroned at the right hand of the Father and gains a decisive victory over the serpent. Now, the conflict continues, of course, after the ascension of Christ because the woman is left. The woman's still on earth, and she's still exposed to danger. But there is given to her, we are told, two great wings of an eagle to flee into the wilderness where she is protected by God throughout the tribulation period. That's where we are. That's describing the state of affairs right now. We are living in the wilderness, which is to say that we are a pilgrim people making our way to the promised land. We haven't arrived yet. We are living in the wilderness. But God, by giving us the wings of an eagle, has brought us to himself. He has brought us to a place of protection, a place of safety, and a place of nourishment. We are nourished in the wilderness for 1,260 days, as Revelation 12 puts it. That is through the whole tribulation period. And he gives us the victory too, the same victory that Christ himself gained over the serpent he shares with us. Now, God helping us, when we come back to this chapter next week, we will look in more detail at this vision. But hopefully we've got the big picture in mind, and that will help us to understand it.